Our first scriptures are from Genesis 1 to 3, 9 to 10, 12, 16 to 18, 20 to 21. The last line, which is in yellow, we'll read together. Can you hear me? And I'll read the other part. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
God saw that the light was good.
And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas.
And God saw that it was good.
The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit according to their kinds.
And God saw that it was good.
God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness.
And God saw that it was good.
God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth, across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth, every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be your food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so.
And God saw that
he had made, and it was very good. And we'll read together Psalm 8. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You gave him dominion over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, how majestic, Lord, is your name in all the earth. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You gave him dominion over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. And I went through and found some great one-liners in Scripture. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and shattering the sheep on my pasture," declares the Lord. "I myself will gather the remnant of my flock and will bring them back to their pasture. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, earth's inhabitants are burned up, and very few are left. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. The time has come for judging the dead, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small, and for destroying those who destroy the earth. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the sky, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, it will teach you, or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his life, in his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaim the work of his hands. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will wear. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, and they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than birds? I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Yet not a single sparrow falls to the earth without your father's consent. Some of the Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus said, "If they were to keep silence, I tell you the very stones would cry out." On a Sabbath, Jesus walked through standing grain. It happened that he was walking through standing grain on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to pull off heads of grain as they went along. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over all the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. So dominion, rule, subdue, versus to work it and care for it. And throughout the scriptures, God's loving care is just imbued in everything. Jesus used nothing but nature metaphors in his work. And he gave us, rather than the ability to subdue or rule or dominate, we are the only creature that was given the responsibility to care for the earth. No one else. Who but us? God loved and cherished all that he had created. He refers to nature in the most loving and gentle manner. Growing up in a rural community, he was well connected with trees, earth, plants, seeds, caring for sheep, herding, probably livestock. He used examples of the natural world, and he was a carpenter, so he dealt with wood and trees. Have you ever walked through standing grain? It's impossible to not tread lightly on walking through standing grain. You have to be very deliberate. You have to stay within the rows. You don't want to break a single stalk. When we walk through standing grain, we tread lightly. So does the earth breathe? Yes or no? Anyone have an idea? It does. There's some idea that maybe there's this contraction and expansion, but I found another way that the earth does breathe. 12,000 years ago, there were probably twice as many trees on earth as there are now. 10,000 years ago, wheat was domesticated. Society moved from hunter-gatherer agrarian communities to farmers and herders. And that was probably the beginning of deforestation. Very small, not impactful at first. The earth could literally breathe easier back then, but how does it breathe? The expansion, contraction? There's another theory that beyond our atmosphere, there's these other spheres that there's some contraction, that the air moves out, so there's this movement of air from the earth. But then we got photosynthesis. Every tree, every blade of grass has tiny little mouths. And if you look through a big microscope, they actually look like mouths. And they are breathing in and letting out. And when that happens for the whole earth, it's breathing. There's this movement of air that's happening all the time. And there's a film put out by the National Geographic. It's from NASA, looking at the earth. And during the times of the year when all the leaves are out and there's just this lushness of the plants cleaning the air, there's not as much CO2. But in the northern hemisphere, especially when the leaves have fallen, there's way more CO2 than there is. I mean, it shows up as this orange wave instead of this soft gray. So the plants are doing their work as best as they can. But massive deforestation continues, so now we have fewer trees and way more CO2. The trees can't keep up. During the last 300 years, we've had greater and greater production of CO2 and fewer trees. We might say that we are slowly smothering. In 1859, Charles Dickens said, "It was the best of times, it was the worst of times," when he started Tale of Two Cities. And now I think we have a tale of two worlds. The industrial nations, U.S., even us here in Montana, we've had it pretty good. We have clean air, pretty much. We have clean water. We've lived as though the Earth's resources are infinite. And it has been easy to deny the inconvenient truth. We've been able to live in our happy bubble. It's been the best of times. But third world countries have been aware of the worst of times for quite some time. Non-industrial nations have felt the pinch. Drought, famine, lack of resources, or resources being exploited. For them, it truly is the worst of times. But now, even us in the first world are feeling the pinch. We have crazy weather. We have rising sea levels. Places like Miami and London and coastal cities all over are becoming aware that the water level is coming up. So it could be the worst of times for us as well. But we can still have hope, because I believe the Holy Spirit is still alive and that God so loved the earth and the creation that I believe he has given mankind the creativity to work this all out. It won't be easy. And we will have to give some things up. We'll have to change our lives. But Christ is still above us, within the earth, beside us, and below us. Now all the world is recognizing we can't go on like this much longer. And climate change may be the one thing that can bring the whole world together. Two recent Gazette articles caught my eye. One was of the glaciers in Glacier Park, and they had a map of Sperry Glacier, which is now about half as large as it was when they took the first pictures in the early 1900s. The worst of times is coming. But then I read this other article about students in Missoula who participated in an international school walkout to call for action on climate change. Kids all over the world stayed away from school. That's the best of times. So what can we do right now in our own backyard? We can feel hopeless, helpless, stuck, or we can continue to deny the reality. And there are many callings to not, if we choose to not do that. A few weeks ago, we had the forum here on climate change and solar panels for religious institutions. About 40 people came. And we can thank Betty Whiting for all her work on that. We can choose to be politically active. I know that there were speakers at that conference that spoke about C-PACE, which I'm not sure what that's all about, actually, sorry. But we can support, you all know, I'm sure you heard of it. It's in the Montana legislature right now. We can support organizations like Presbyterians for Earth Care. We can become informed on the issues and we don't have to get political. We can just talk to people. Huge percentages of people, even in our country, are unaware of the effects of climate change and the things that have caused it. We don't want to put our light under a bushel basket. We can tend and care for our own little space of the earth. St. Andrew could create a green space over there in our backyard, a tiny little urban park in the midst of all this asphalt that goes on for miles in every direction. We can be involved in organizations that support and care and tend, Audubon Society, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, lots of others. And we can do the small practical things that we might think don't make a difference, but they help us in our thinking. Turn off lights, use less plastic, drive less, walk more. But then on a deeper level, I think we have to be open to a shift in consciousness. To make a lasting change, a shift in consciousness will be made. If we're just doing things differently, that may not change. I think we need to notice the world with a new sense of awareness of our senses. Yesterday I was walking my dog, and there's all this water running down next to the curb, and it just sounds like a little spring or a brook, and I heard music. And I thought, someone's left their radio on in the car. I'm walking along, and I could hear this music. And when I came right up next to the drain, it was the water trickling down and hitting the metal underneath, and it was actually music. It was so beautiful. So we can approach, and I wonder how many other things like that are happening that we don't even notice. Like we're so busy with our stuff that all this beauty is around us, all these little miracles all the time, but we don't always notice them. I know I don't. We can approach the natural world with the same love and awe with which it was created. Any of you ever had a newborn baby or held a newborn baby? And you look at this creature with such awe, it's so amazing. And when you get it home, it takes two or three adults to bathe it because we're so afraid we're going to screw it up. What if we looked at the whole world that way, every bit of it? What if we accept every single part of nature as imbued with the Spirit of God? Rocks, weeds, insects, bats, snakes, as well as all the other parts that we like. You and everyone around you are part of nature, so be patient with yourself and with them. Love them and yourself. When you walk into a grocery store and you have your eye on one of those small carts that are easy to handle, and you're walking towards it, and out of nowhere, someone comes and snatches it, and you are left with the big cart that's hard to move around. Christ in every eye that sees me. Christ in every mouth of everyone who speaks to me. Christ in every ear that hears me. Christ on my left, Christ on my right. Just walk slowly and tenderly, aware that your feet are kissing the earth, and breathe love into that situation. Your consciousness is connected to the consciousness of everyone, everybody, everywhere. The sun falls on the good as on the bad, and the rain falls on the good as on the bad. I want to leave you with two meditations that you can do. We don't have to do the one now, but Thich Nhat Hanh wrote about a walking meditation. And it's very simple. Each step is a mindful step, touching the earth slowly, kissing the earth with love with every footfall. If possible, find a place where you can walk on dirt. But even if you're having to walk on asphalt, somewhere under there is the earth, begging for notice. And breathe into each step as your foot touches the earth. Breathe in, and on the exhale, breathe out. And eventually, your movement and your breath will get into sync. And notice everything about the moment. The air on your skin. Even Montana wind is of God. The sun's warmth. The gentle mantle of clouds. And if it snows, even now, at the end of March, allow yourself to see only the beauty. And just continue that till you really feel one with everything. And the last one is a breathing meditation, and we can just do this now. It's very similar to the walking meditation, only you don't have to get up and you don't have to walk around. Sit in a comfortable position. If you're comfortable closing your eyes, go ahead. Adjust yourself accordingly. You've been sitting a long time. Rest your hands in your lap and notice the energies around you. Feel the warmth of the people next to you. Then notice the rhythm of your breath and mindfully breathe in slowly. And then exhaling with love. And on that next breath, breathing in and breathing out with love. Everything is part of God's creation. Let the images in your mind soften. Imagine the energy of your body circulating with each breath, drawing strength from the earth and giving back with each exhale. Christ above you, Christ on your left, Christ on your right, Christ below you.